You're listening to Blind Cool Tech, the podcast about ordinary, everyday blind people, coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky. Now, here's the host of Blind Cool Tech, Mr. Excitement, Larry Skutkan.
Thank you, Steve. I am going to have to talk fast today because we have got a lot of material to cover. Two articles from Jerry Halladin. One is an in-depth discussion of microphones, the difference between condenser and dynamic, everything you wanted to know, this is it. Secondly, Jerry calls me up this afternoon and says, I've got your answers. KBPS, sample rates, digital audio. You'll love it. Okay, you know what? We need some more sounds for like background information and technical tip or technical note. We're going to round out with a couple of sound-seeing tours. Lynette Tatum takes us through New York City into Harlem, goes grocery shopping. Really neat stuff, Lynette. And finally, you can join me on the walk home while I try to talk about some topics that have come up on the BCT mailing list.
Hey, Larry, this is Buddy. I've got over being scared of your podcast, Halloween. I was nervous all day long yesterday. My wife sat there and hollered and screamed with the headphones on and scared her to death. I get my Olympus. No, I get my iRiver tomorrow. I want you to do a thing on microphones. Have on microphones. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Coming to you pre-recorded from Louisville, Kentucky, you're listening to Blind Cool Tech.
Hi, Larry, and Blind Cool Tech listeners out there. This is Jerry Halladin, and I wanted to speak with you today about microphones. And, of course, with podcasting being so popular these days, there's a lot of interest in it. You have podcasts that are just devoted to the equipment used in podcasting and how to put a podcast together. And, of course, one of those areas of interest involves microphones. And since microphones are, you know, the tools that I use every day, I thought I'd share some of my knowledge with you about the world of microphones. So to get started, I guess let me just say that microphones can be divided generally, and I'm going to have to generalize because, again, there are books written about this, you know, the subject of microphones. So I'm trying to keep this as concise as possible. Microphones can generally be divided into two main categories, and that would be dynamic microphones and condenser microphones. So first, let me talk about dynamic microphones. Dynamic microphones can be divided into two categories. One, ribbon microphones, and two, moving coil microphones. Now, I'm not going to discuss ribbon microphones in any detail because ribbon microphones are fairly esoteric, and they're the kind of microphone that you would find in a really professional recording studio as opposed to, your local Best Buy or something like that. Let me just say about ribbon microphones, they are primarily used for vocal recording. Ribbon microphones have been around for at least 60 years. They are very sensitive, very delicate. They are quite warm sounding, so they're very good for vocal recordings. Artists such as Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald use them. And, there are only a small handful of companies that manufacture them these days, and they are quite nice. And again, you probably won't encounter them as a hobbyist or a podcaster. Now, moving coil microphones are probably the most common type of dynamic microphone. And a moving coil, like, for example, a Shure SM58 or a SM57, would be an example of dynamic microphones, moving coil dynamic microphones. Moving coil microphones have a diaphragm that resembles a sort of a dome, okay? If you've ever disassembled a moving coil microphone, you'd know what I was talking about. And that diaphragm is connected to a coil, all right? Now, that coil surrounds a magnet, okay? Now, as the diaphragm is moved by sound waves, the diaphragm moves the coil because it's connected to it, and the coil moves around this magnet. And I mean, not around in a circle, but it moves, it vibrates around this magnet, this magnet at the core of the coil. And because of something called electromagnetic induction, an electrical signal is generated in the wire. Electromagnetic induction is the tendency of magnets to induce electrical responses and vice versa. Now, that signal, which is very faint, has to be amplified, and thus we have the need for microphone preamplifiers. So a couple of the characteristics of a dynamic microphone are that they tend to be very rugged, number one. They tend to be not very efficient. They're not very sensitive. They can withstand very high pressure levels. So they're good for vocals, especially in a live situation, because if that microphone is dropped, chances are it's going to work. And they're also good for miking snare drums, toms. They're good for miking guitar amplifiers, something that's going to generate quite a loud signal. Now, they're, as I said, they're not very sensitive. So while they're okay for vocals, they're most often used in live situations. In a studio situation or in a sort of a higher quality recording, one would tend to favor condenser microphones. Now, let's talk about condenser microphones. Let me say that condenser microphones are among the cheapest and among the most expensive microphones in the world. All right, a telephone contains a condenser microphone, whereas you can find high-quality studio condenser microphones that will cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, condenser microphones work according to a very different principle, and that would be electrostatic induction, which is the tendency of electrons to jump a gap. And what condenser microphones have are two diaphragms, one stationary and one moving. So when sound pressure vibrates the moving diaphragm, it will cause electrons to jump from that diaphragm to the negatively charged stationary diaphragm. And this induces an electrical charge. And of course, again, that charge is fairly weak, although it's stronger than in the case of dynamic microphones, but it still needs to be amplified quite a bit. Now, condenser microphones are much more efficient and they're much more sensitive. And as a result, also because of their construction, they're susceptible to a breaking if they're dropped or mistreated. Let's talk about polar patterns. Now, for dynamic microphones, again, the ribbon microphone, which I'm not going to delve into too deeply, has one polar pattern, and that is a figure eight polar pattern. It picks up from two sides equally. Now, dynamic moving coil microphones are typically cardioid pattern, and cardioid just simply means that it picks up from one end of the microphone. The term cardioid comes from a kind of heart-shaped, if you will. Now, condenser microphones can have many different polar patterns. Let's start with omnidirectional. Well, omnidirectional, you could probably figure out, means that it can pick up sounds from all different directions. Cardioid, as I said, picks up from one direction. Hypercardioid will pick up from the front of the microphone, and it will pick up a little bit from the back. It's essentially a combination of cardioid and bidirectional, and it will reject sound at around 110 degrees and 270 degrees off axis if the front business end of the microphone is let's say 0 degrees. It will pick up a little bit at 180, but it will reject at 110 and 270 degrees. Supercardioid is kind of an exaggeration of that. It picks up well from the front. It picks up a little bit from the back, but it really rejects from the side. And this causes quite a strange off-axis coloration. Off-axis coloration being a significant change in frequency response when a sound source is off to the side and not addressed at the front of the microphone. Lastly, I just wanted to mention a couple of miscellaneous things about microphones. Cardioid microphones have what's called a proximity effect. So if you a proximity effect is a boost in the bass frequencies of a microphone when the sound source is quite close to the microphone. And the larger the diaphragm, the greater that proximity effect. Now, omnidirectional microphones, by the way, do not have any proximity effect. You can get right up to an omnidirectional mic and you will not get that bass boost. Now, having said that, one of the things that one has to consider when using especially a condenser microphone, but even with a dynamic microphone, is the tendency for plosives to really create a noticeable pop in a recording. So some people use what are known as windscreens, but windscreens really don't do the job of filtering out those big pops, those big plosives. What is much more effective are pop filters, which are basically nylon mesh stretched over a ring, and that is usually affixed to a little gooseneck stand or even connected to a shock mount. Now, let me just say something about shock mounts. To eliminate noise, such as rumbles, one can use a shock mount, and a shock mount is it's kind of like a little suspension for the microphone, usually with either rubber or kind of like bungee cord material. And the microphone is usually placed in this type of a large cage, if you will, that suspends the microphone to isolate it. I just wanted to add one more comment here at the end, and this is regarding the idea of three-dimensional imaging and binaural microphones. And I just wanted to point out that two things are really key to this imaging that weren't mentioned in the commentaries that were posted to the Blind Cool Tech podcast. Number one is the idea of arrival time cues. Now, this is the brain's way of placing objects in a three-dimensional space. And essentially what it means is that if a sound is off to one side, it will arrive at one ear before it arrives at the other ear. Now, that difference in arrival time is a fraction of a second, but it's enough for the brain to determine the position of something in space. Now, the other thing is when you have binaural microphones that are placed essentially inside the ear, the pinnae, the curved part of the ear outside the ear canal, help a great deal in shaping sound. Now, for example, if a car is approaching, and in the case of Blind Cool Tech podcast, when Larry does his walks home, if a car is approaching from the front, okay, and it's approaching, let's say it's on his right side and it's approaching from in front of Larry, number one, the arrival time between the two microphones is going to be interpreted by the brain as something being to the right. And that's in addition to just simply level changes. Now, the second thing that happens is that as soon as that car passes behind Larry, the pinnae and the ear itself are shielding the microphones. Now, it's shielding the left even more so than the right because, of course, you have Larry's head, which is blocking the sound once the car passes. And vice versa, the opposite is true. when a car passes from behind to the front. Another thing that happens is that the frequency content changes. When a car is in front and those microphones are pretty much picking up stuff from the front mostly, there are going to be more high frequencies in that sound. And as they pass behind and as the ears and the pinnae are shielding those microphones to some extent, and I'm not saying that they're blocking the sound, but they are affecting the sound, the frequency content will decrease. And so it is absolutely possible to have a very good three-dimensional image with binaural microphones. Now, there were tests done with binaural recordings of orchestras back in the 60s, and it was really effective, although they found that it was most effective with headphones, and of course, you all know that. But there are instances in binaural recordings where if you're not using headphones, there could be some kind of like tricks played on you. And again, this is a subject that if you're interested in, I would encourage you to look up a few books on recording techniques from places like RFB&D. If you'd like to contact me about any of this, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions, any further questions. My email is jhalatin@bsharpstudios.com, jhalatyn at bsharpstudios.com. Thanks again, Larry. And well, I guess next time I submit something, it'll be a career cast. So until then, thanks so much. Bye.
Blind Cool Tech. Sound Seeing Tool.
Welcome to Malin's News and Views, where people who are blind and partially sighted have a voice.
And speaking of voices, that was the voice of Maria Rios. She is the Ma of Malin. This is a joint venture, and I hope to have her do a career cast and a hobbies cast or whatever cast she would like to do. Until then, I thought it'd be fun for you to hear how two partially sighted people go about shopping. By the way, this is Lynette Tatum, and as you know, you can reach me if you so desire at SuperLynn, SuperLynne, at earthlink.net or on the list. I'm calling this our shopping cast because that's what we did, yesterday. In terms of technical things, the mic I'm using is a forgotten name that we purchased from Sam Ash, the store. The actual brick and mortar store here in New York City. It was approximately $100 when all was said and done. It, I believe, is a singing mic for professional singing, but I got a an adapter so that I could plug it into the computer. At some point, I would like to add some music to the intro that you heard. I know how to mix now, but I don't know how to change the volume of the music. So when I learn that, I certainly hope to have some music. But until then, it doesn't seem reasonable to have loud music and soft speaking. So we hope you enjoy some of this shopping cast. Sometimes it can be fairly comical, believe me. All right. If I can think of anything, I will join you at the end, but hopefully you'll just enjoy the shopping cast. Take care, all.
Okay, today is October 30th, 2005. I'm with my friend Maria, and we're going to do our shopping at Pathmark. We stopped because the phone rang, but nobody picked up. I mean, nobody said left a message. Yeah, obviously nobody picked up. So now we're heading for the bus.
Well, we're heading for the elevator.
That's what we're doing first. First we get on the bus, then we get on the elevator. So we're going to Pathmark. We have a store up the road from us, but it's a little expensive for right now. So we don't want to do that. And besides up the road, right? Well, up the block is what we say here. And Pathmark is huge, generally crowded, but the prices, I would say, are at least half of what they are at our other store. So we make the trek. Whoops. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the bus there. We have our cart. You might be able to hear that in the background. We have our cart, and we're going to then walk back.
With our goods.
So we don't have to get in a cab, and we can't get on the bus with the shopping cart.
Yes, you can. Just call me.
That is our lunatic security man, Angel.
Well, coming back, please take a taxi, okay?
Oh, yes, we will.
Oh, you can walk.
Are you paying?
Nice,
well, that's what we're going to do, Goose. Thank you, Angel. What is that?
Mr. Rogers.
Oh, Lord. He forgot to change his jacket. He doesn't have any jacket on. Yes, our building has, I don't even know how many anymore. Do you know how many security people, Maria? The building has?
I don't know.
Okay.
But at least one, they have like two every, what do they?
How do they do it?
One to three, three to nine.
One to three? Wait.
Yeah.
We have the light. I'm able to see the light, as you all know, so we're
Russell
going.
Fifth Avenue.
Yeah, there we go.
One was three, Jimmy works like, I mean, not one to three, sorry.
I was just going to let her keep saying
seven,
it because...
Seven to three.
There you
They're
go.
Like hospital
They're
out.
Hospital, yeah, seven to three. I know one of our favorite big guys works from 3 to 11, so that's 8 hours, yeah. Or 4 to 11. Yeah, it has to be 3 because Jimmy's off at 3.
Yeah.
Who knows? There might be a break in there that we don't know about. But it's a gorgeous day today. Yesterday was, you know, there was no sun and it was cold and...
Nope,
we're not wearing jackets. I, however, am wearing a sort of an old shirt, like a sweatshirt almost. And corduroy pants. And I do match, which brings up color. Because I'm able, at least this much I know I have, forget what I said about knowing what I have on. I have on a tan corduroys. And my shirt is basically black.
With white. Red and green.
Red and green. There you go. So. Yesterday. Yep, I do. Yesterday, I think his name is Jamie Pauls, who was on the feedback show, did a cool thing. He put a little sound in when he didn't need us to hear the download to his iPod, which I thought was kind of cool. So I'm going to try to do something like that as well. Okay, without giving away too much here, excessive knowledge, we are on Madison Avenue because Fifth goes towards Madison, and we're going to make a left, and then we're going to stand here what might seem forever, because the ones are deadly slow.
Especially on a Sunday.
Exactly. Especially on the weekends and Sunday. Forget it. We have the light. My cane has a hole in it going all the way around, or a slit, I guess. So it's definitely time for a new ball. I don't know if anybody out there uses the big golf balls that we use. But we, at the end, our canes really do look like we have the whole setup, a golf club and a golf ball at the end. Okay, so here we are. Yep. Maybe the bus will be kind to us today and not have us waiting a year. That's wishful thinking. Well, now see, Maria thinks it's a nice breeze. I say, well, it'll do. She's a cold weather person. I enjoy all the seasons, but I have to say that I miss the summer month. The spring and summer months are my favorite. But I manage because we have some really cold days here in the city.
And some really hot ones.
Well, that's true. Oh, God. I thought she said to her funeral. Now, another thing you'll definitely find, Maria and I love to eavesdrop. I mentioned that. And we just chime right in. As I said on my walk cast, unfortunately, some of these hardcore types can't hear us. Because we might not be here to tell the tale. Yeah. So they say it's 64 or 65 degrees out today, which for October 30th is pretty nice. But what's interesting to me is we've had some pretty chilly days, which is, I guess,
I can see a cloud in the sky. It's a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. It is. That is a bus going by. Unfortunately, it wasn't a city bus. And this is very frustrating because we have a ton of buses that go down Fifth Avenue and up Madison Avenue, and half the time they are not ours. There are some new gray buses. Okay, there's somebody that went by who just, well, didn't restrain himself, shall we say. But they go up and down. And they're in the morning when we're waiting for the bus, it's so frustrating to see all of those buses zooming down. Not one of them are ours. Or not one of them is ours, I guess. I like to say these days I'm so confused about what to say. Listen, guy, I'm trying to talk here. About what?
Standing in front of a Spanish bodega.
Another bodega, exactly. And, you know, we're likely to hear anything coming out of here. Uh-huh. Something about a cat. But I heard about a gato. That may or may not be true. Okay, now, don't stop here now, okay? There's a kind of a truck or something, and technically they're not supposed to stop in the bus stops. However, oh my gosh, here's a bus sneaking up on us. This is one thing I hate the number ones for. They're too quiet. So I'm boarding the bus. And hopefully Maria's behind me somewhere. Maria, can I take the thing? Let me take this. Hi. Good, thanks. Could you announce 125th, please? Thank you. Bless you. Excuse me. 3? Oh, I didn't know there was a... Oh, no, there isn't. There's a seat next to me.
Okay.
Okay. Now... It's a dangerous thing to stand up on these buses because you might topple over. I'm saying it's dangerous to stand up for any minute because you could topple over. Oh my goodness, exactly. So this is at 125th Street, then we decide whether we're going to take a bus across town.
Another bus.
Another bus, exactly. Or walk. We generally decide to walk, especially sometimes if we have the cart and we don't want to schlep it up onto the... Yeah, we don't want to schlep it onto another bus.
Unless the bus happens to be right there.
Which is a rare thing, but nonetheless it has happened. We don't think we're going to ask for any sighted assistance today, or shopping assistance. Sighted assistance, shopping assistance, what difference does it make? We still sometimes ask for somebody with eyeballs better than ours. So. Okay, now what could be happening now, and I'm not sure, is a person in a wheelchair might be getting on. I think, what do you think, Maria, maybe? Yeah, on or off, yeah. And so what they do is they let the person on in the back. And there's a hydraulic lift, I think. Now, some buses allow the folks to get on in the front, which I think is really kind of cool, too. But then those of us who are sitting in the front seats have to get up. Maria's not too fond of that. What guy? Yeah, he did. He jumped off in the... I know, right? Oh, in the first seat, right? Maybe I'll move there. Okay. It's probably better if we sit in the front seat. We try to keep the cart out of the way. Driver's coming back, and we're ready to go. Liken ourselves to the person who will ask for directions and the person who won't. You can guess which one I am.
Because when I first moved to New York and I would ask, and I didn't know the system, the bus stops, Lynette, and I would ask, well, where are we, Lynette? 86th.
We were. We lived on the west side, and inevitably you would ask me where we were at 86th Street
at the time that we were at 110th
Street.
Our apartment.
That's true. When we lived on in an apartment on Central Park West, which is a lovely neighborhood as well, or a lovely avenue, there was a number 10 bus, and that 10 had absolutely no landmarks. And as a partially sighted person, that's what we're looking for. And if I didn't happen to glimpse the buildings across the way, then forget it. But I was willing to guess and have us walk anyway. Somewhere near me, and I think it's fairly near my near us.
Now?
Yeah, that's where. We should be getting there soon. Is 125th next? Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Sometimes I ask. It's rare, but I do. I am so thrilled. I can't tell you how thrilled I am about this mixing thing. It's just because now I can put, well, let me pay attention because I know Maria likes me to pay attention. But I mean, you know, I should, since I'm holding the cart in my hand. Good day. Hey. Excuse me. Sorry. Pardon me. Whoops, excuse me. Yes. All right. Now, here's... Oh, you have it locked. Okay, so I'll... Oh, you know what? I'll drag it like this. Thank you very much, though. Who says New Yorkers are not kind? They're all kind. Oh, I mean, they're... they're very kind. Now, I'm not going to even try to record this entire thing because it generally... By the way, we're standing at a block that is just horrible. It is so high. The curb is so high. And I don't know...
Get down right here. There's the bus.
Well, there you have it. There goes the bus. And that is why... Now, see, why we don't get the bus very often going across town, because it often passes us. Now, we're at 125th Street. A very famous street, actually, historically. So now you know we're in the heart of Harlem. And the sun is beautiful. It's very warm, actually. So I guess you'll want to walk across, Maria? Okay. My only regret is that the sun isn't on this side. Oh. Now, this is actually a very cool sound scene tour, because I can at least tell you some of the things. We have everything, even, as you probably know, okay, former President Clinton works right up here, just an avenue or two over. And we have...
he has his office.
He has his office there. I don't know how often he's there. He's usually gallivanting all over. But they have a food. You want to talk about food, people. On this block alone, there are so many restaurants for seafood, for ribs, for fast food. And believe it or not, we're passing a tattoo parlor where you can get a tattoo for $30. And there, I think someone told me that to my right, they're going to build a Marriott or a one of those really shishi foo-foo hotels. And this area, frankly, could use it. They could use the revenue. Right ahead of us, we have the Metro North. And that is that's kind of our suburban line, because you have folks who live in upper New York who commute to the city that take...
And Connecticut.
Oh, right. Connecticut. That's true. We've only been on it a few times, but it's fun. It's a nice, clean, fast, pretty nice scheduled train, actually. And it's on Park Avenue. Yes, Maria?
And it has a club car that we like.
Wait, not the Metro North. That's the Amtrak.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But Metro North has no food, to my knowledge, unfortunately. It is on a street. It's on Park Avenue. And we have the light. Thank you. So we're now... whoa. There goes the cane. Sometimes the cane is ready to trip you up as much as help you out. Okay, a little family coming here. All right. You still have it? Great. Thank you. Okay.
Here we are.
Here we, well, we have one more block to go. I think Maria might be hungry or something.
Yeah, we haven't had anything yet.
I'll give you a peppermint. I'm having that. At least I'll get some sugar. Okay, so this street is so-so. At the end of the block, though, they have a little joint where you can get all things like hot dogs, cheese fries, hamburgers, that kind of stuff.
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. What am I saying? Excuse me. No problem. And they have all kinds of services up here. I mean, you name it, frankly, they have it. One of my favorite stores up here, you know, I don't know how many people get or have them in their area, but Payless Shoes, which I love, is up here. And but for the most part, this strip between Park and Lexington on this side isn't all that. Speaking of shoes, but this is not Payless. Something called Fabco Shoes, where you might be able to get a shoe for a dollar or something. I don't know. I've never heard of Fabco. Okay. So we're 125th Street is a cross-town street, just like 23rd, 34th, 42nd, 79th, 72nd, 86th, 96th, both ways,
east and west.
And yes.
The avenues go north and west.
Yes, exactly.
For the most part, except when you get to the village, then you're in.
Oh my God, the village, we don't even try. I would never do a sound seeing tour of the village unaccompanied, because we just don't go there unaccompanied. We were there a Monday ago, I guess it would be last Monday, the 24th, and we just had no clue. We just let our, you know, my sighted colleagues just lead us around the mulberry bush, because we had no clue. Now, across the way, I guess that many cities have them. They have a nice, inexpensive store. I don't know if it's called the dollar store, this one, but it's on the order of where everything is very inexpensive. And we went in there and something's itching my forehead. We have the light. Now we're crossing Lexington Avenue, the famous or infamous Lexington Avenue that I talk about when I'm coming uptown. Now the fun part will be for us finding a cart. Hello. Thank you. Yes, we get many hellos. We don't know the people, but we say hello because we were taught to be mannered women.
or polite women. Okay, here's the fun part now. Finding a cart. Excuse me. I'll come in this
way. Okay. I need some help.
No, we're going to take our cart today. Thank you, though.
I'm there.
Maria? Now, that's where usually we can get a cab if we were getting more stuff.
Come on. I'll put the cart on for you.
Oh, thank you.
I got that, ma'am. I got that. I got it.
Oh, all right. I will let you help. Thank you.
Whenever y'all come, I'll always try to help y'all.
Thank you.
Oh, I didn't know you could stick it on like that.
You see? Wow. I have a...
With the latch. Now, we'll see.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent.
Watch it.
Oh, thank you. We'll see you on the way out, hopefully. I don't want to stop right now, but I'm certain he would like a gratuity. Excuse me. Rio? Oh, my Lord, this is wonderful. That has never happened to us, by the way. We've never had anyone offer to put our cart, like, piggyback on the other cart. I'm not sure how he did it, but where did he do? Oh, look at that.
Here's a salad.
Okay, so here's where we start. When we come in, we're at the salad. Well, oh, and there are flowers today. Okay, we just put our hands on everything, let me tell you. Okay, so what kind of salad would you like? If I can read these things.
Seafood would be nice.
Seafood. This is cob. Now, this is where my 2-cent eyeballs come in. Okay, this is, they have these wonderful prepackaged salads that we like. Ooh, this is chicken Caesar. That's okay. But, you know, you want, we'll get one of those.
This one for you.
Yes.
And you can find the seafood.
I like the seafood too, though, so I might have to put that back.
Okay.
Okay, wait a second.
If we find it.
That's the thing. And I am not averse, though, to going up to the people at the customer service desk and asking them to help us find the seafood. This is a salad, but what is it? Some kind of...
They're all salad.
You know, with help like that. But, I mean, it's... Oh, ooh, a chef salad. Okay. Now, that's a good one.
We'll hold on to it.
Okay. It only took me 2 years to read the thing. Okay, and this one... is seafood.
All right.
Okay, so why don't we do this? We'll get one of each because I think that we can...
manage that.
Yeah.
That's the chicken.
Today we're shopping on a budget.
We have three?
That's the chicken. This is the chicken? Oh, okay. Let me make sure. Okay, you're right. Okay, so that was good.
Okay.
All right,
so
now where?
In the taste of seafood salad.
Okay, me too. I think that's enough for both of us, to be honest with you. I remember chewing and chewing and chewing on this salad. Now, across from us, we have all... No, we're going to look. Well, what we're going to do is we're just going to try to get a... I just want the pumpkin pie.
Is this your potato?
Oh, my God, my bean pie.
Is that it, though?
Okay, for those of you who have never had bean pie, it is very good. I like it. It tastes very much like it is my bean pie.
I think these are blueberry muffins.
Oh, Lord. See, this is the problem. We come and we say we're not going to buy. Let me see those, though. And then we buy. This one is, they have very, oh, yes. They are indeed blueberry muffins, and we'll just get these and that'll be it.
Okay,
In addition to my pumpkin pie, though. That's an Entenmann's, though, and I'm hoping they have that.
Right.
That is the only thing that I would buy at our store in our area, because they have it all the time. They have all kinds of cakes. You know, they don't have any... Oops, I'm sorry. Careful, Rio. We're having a little jam up here. Okay, very good. I just can't get over how he put this card up here. Okay. Now, I have no cart, no list.
No.
So Maria's the list keeper today. It's a mental list.
That's it.
So,
let me think. We have
onions. Okay.
We could get some
Would you like any fruit? I wouldn't mind the fruit.
Okay.
Okay. Tomatoes. We need some tomatoes and fruit. Okay. So. We don't usually come without a list. Okay, let's go this way. I'm sorry. But today we're sort of winging it, which could be dangerous, really, for us, but we're doing it anyway. Because we're only slightly nuts.
Look at these. I'm going to get these, Lynette.
Okay, these are some kind of breads.
Rolls.
Now they're kind of slim. What are you going to do with them? Make sandwiches?
No, yeah. They're like a sandwich making.
Those are going to be some slim sandwiches.
If you get hot dogs, you can put hot dogs in them.
All right. But we don't have a toaster, and those don't get toasted. I mean, you know.
You can put them in the
oven?
In the grill.
And, fine.
They open up and I spread them out.
Okay.
No more.
No, we're not looking at any.
This is the saucy bread.
It's soft, but not that bad. It's soft.
You don't like that?
No.
Okay.
I mean, then we end up with the bread butts, and I'm.
Okay. Do you think we need paper, sort of paper?
I don't think we need it right now. I think we can manage for another week. Paper towel. Wait, but you're taking. Aren't we going to get fruit and stuff?
Oh, I have paper towel.
Yeah, paper towel. Okay. You said we have onions, right?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe tomatoes. I knew there was something we needed this way. Rio, can you see me?
Yeah.
Okay. Carrots? How about our carrot situation? They have them here. They have a big thing like this.
Oh, we don't need that big.
Okay. Okay, well. Oh, okay. They have a big thing like this and a big thing like that. And then they have. No, they don't have the smallie. The smallie? They don't have
this one. They have to take a big. Here they are.
Oh, okay. So there you go. Cool. And this is how Maria and I find stuff when we just come by ourselves because. Ooh. Okay, they have. One thing Pathmark has is wonderful fresh, which is freshly sprayed and sprinkled produce. Now we may not know what everything is, but Maria says, Lynette, what is this?
Are these onions?
I think it is. Smell it. Let's see. No, that's not a.
It has a bowl on the end.
Maybe it's a gourd.
They are onions.
They're onions.
They are.
They're real live onions.
Look at that one.
Oh, that's cool. What do you do with that, though? Okay, you can get those.
No, I'll get them next week.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Not even one?
They don't come one. They come a bunch.
Oh, they come bunches, right? Those look like really cool onions with the stalk on them.
Now, these are like scallions or something.
I think they might be. This is the other fun part of being partially sighted. We don't know
what
everything.
Figuring out what things are.
Exactly.
Wow. I don't know what this is either. That's lettuce, I guess.
Lettuce alone. That's the honeymoon salad. Okay, that joke is as old as Methuselah.
Yeah. Broccoli?
Okay. Broccoli I like if we eat it. I love anything green, anything vegetable anyway. But except kale. Kale is horrible.
Is this broccoli? I think this is broccoli. Shall we get one thing of broccoli?
Sure. These are scallions, Rio.
Oh, that's a thousand steps.
Those I think are scallions. I think so. What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I think this part of it is, but it has all that green stuff that's kind of.
But don't scallions have like the little ball, the onion at the bottom?
They do. Okay. Well, you can tell we're very knowledgeable about our produce here. Let's get the stuff we know today, and then when we have a shopper assistant, then we can. Oh my! Something's on the floor here. What are you looking for? Tomatoes? These are like roots and tubers and stuff. Okay. Okay, I think it's around the other way. Okay. I mean, truly, we are guessing here. Now, of course, I find all of these things. Oh, my. Well, I'm not going to get them, but hiker's munch, whatever that might be. This is the thing they do, you know, in stores. They put all manner of extra stuff that you don't even need in any lifetime. Yes.
I'm always picking up something.
I'm telling you, like I picked up that hydra's munch.
Or bean.
Those are, well, whatever they are, they're sun-kissed. I think these are peanuts? You know what they are? Pistachios.
Oh, I like pistachios.
Okay. You like the yellow ones? Those are the light ones.
I like the red.
Whatever color they are. They're not the red ones.
These don't have any taste.
Okay, well, you might as well get the ones with taste. But do they have the red ones?
Yeah.
You know, the red ones seem to be hard to find.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I see they've gone back to the Light FM radio station.
Okay.
They used to have a really nice soul station. Oh, Lord. Here. Okay, Rio. Now, do we need any peppers? We can just get them individually this time.
Yeah.
Because we usually get what I call the stop sign peppers. And the stop sign peppers has four. Oh, my God. That is a mutant pepper. Okay, well,
you know what? I'm going to go get it.
You want this one? This one's cool.
Want that one?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a stop sign.
You got a green, red, and yellow. For anybody who was in, who was partially sighted in school, they taught us how to tell the stop sign because they were green, red, and yellow. And then when I got to, oh, well, they have them here, but they're smaller. They have two green, a yellow, and a reddish orange or something. They have, do you prefer the live ones to these? I mean, the unbagged. Like a comedy routine, for goodness sake. Oh, okay, good. Now, we're also getting on to the tomatoes, Barisha. That's my nickname for her. Okay. Okay, the Supremes are on. That's good. So they have all these tomatoes, Maria. So which would you like?
We're getting
regular tomatoes. We generally get the green ones, but not the green ones, the ones in the red bag.
I'm going to need a bag for these.
Okay, now this is the other fun part when Lynette tries to find the bag. I see it at the end of the... Okay, good. Just one? Two? Okay. I actually got three without knowing. Okay, now, and the other fun part is trying to open them, but I was pretty successful right now. Okay. So there you go. Sometimes Maria and I come and we're so tired and we're evil and awful and... But today we seem to be in a good mood, even though we haven't eaten any breakfast. What kind of, those are the plum tomatoes?
These are...
Or medium size?
Yeah.
They're fresh, do they have the stem or anything?
No, these don't seem
okay.
Have the stem.
Okay, that's all right. That's enough?
That's enough, there's five there.
Okay. As I was saying before, you know, people say so many interesting things in English today. We don't really know what that child I was talking has been our shopper's assistant. I recognize her voice. More tomatoes. They have a ton of tomatoes here. Ooh, they even have the ones we like, but I'm not sure they're good anymore. They feel kind of soft.
Yeah,
they're not good. Yeah. It's better to get tomatoes in season. They're kind of out of season now. Cukes? You need any cukes? You need any cukes and lettuce? So they have the whole salad here: lettuce, tomato, and cucumber.
Okay.
Hello. She didn't see us. She was so busy telling her what. Yeah. What is her name? Cheryl or something?
Yeah.
She's like, oh my God, wait, I don't want him to ask me that. Now, behind us should be... No, she probably didn't see us, but behind us... Okay, our fruit, but I don't know if they have the lovely... Oh, never mind. Now, I have to think about this because they have the big bowl, but I understand that might be $15.
What?
So we might not do that one.
Yeah.
Now, these pineapples, which I love, are lethal. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get them, and I'm going to put them in a plastic bag.
That bowl is $15?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
I think there's a bowl, and it's the coolest thing. You have a whole, in fact, it's on sale. We might get it for $13.54. Sure, yes, it's expensive. But what it is this huge, wonderful plastic bowl, and it has all kinds of fruit. A lot of melon, though. I think we'll get the pineapples, and we'll put them in a... Oh, they have grapes, Ree. Well, you took my bags. I was gonna put the pineapple in a bag, so that you know, because it always comes apart on us, and then it's dripping. And since we're walking home, we don't want that. One time we walked home and we lost a whole cheesecake. It dropped, fell right out, face down onto, out of the little package, and slapped right on the sidewalk. Needless to say, we did not take it. Okay, I'm getting two. There you go. And if they have to take them out, they can take them out.
Yeah, but we'll tell them that.
We'll tell them that it always... Isn't that ingenious? Oh. This time? Wow.
Very.
Thank you. Now, I don't think we need anything else. We are leaving the produce department. Probably. Oh, okay, well, here.
They don't have the bag with it. These are all the... Should I just get one of these?
Regular
lettuce?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can put it ratcheted up or something. We're getting the plain, non-nutritious iceberg lettuce, I think, this time. We're not getting any of those wonderful romaines and so forth.
I need a 5717. Let me make a knot in the tomato so they don't fall out in the bag, rather.
Okay. Tomato. This morning I bent over. I was half asleep. I bent over and I busted my lip.
Oh, gosh.
Wonderful. So, I have a boo-boo.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Now, I think we're really done here. Okay, now the next, they've moved things around. Generally, we would buy all kinds of shrimp and stuff, but we're not doing that today. Ree?
You know what? I haven't seen in a long time.
What's that?
That big thing of, you know, with the beans and the...
Beans. Oh! Know what? That's going to come out probably in the spring. You think they might have it now? If they have the fruit now, you want me to look?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay.
This thing is making it fun.
You're supposed to drag it the way I do. Whoops, sorry. I think I just said I'm sorry to a car. Okay. Now. Okay, so. Okay, these are the fruit. And she had us walk back here. What? Okay. Oh, they have some. Oh, look at these apples. Oh, I'm going to look for my candied apples, too. Now, I think they used to be somewhere around here. You know what, Ree? I think that really is seasonal. Because then they put the little tomatoes. I know what you mean. But they have all that stuff. They just haven't put them together in that nice package, unfortunately. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were. Okay. I think we're done with this area, though. I think they changed the station. They don't have my candied apples, unfortunately. Okay, wherever you like.
You could use some, probably some chili.
Okay, so you know what we should do? Maybe we should make our way straight ahead because there really are not that many people here today. It's very rare.
Even though it sounds like that.
Yeah, that's just because of the general hubbub.
We don't need anything from the pharmacy area.
The pharmacy, no. I have, you know, a piece of deodorant for which everyone is truly grateful. Certain. These are cough medicines. We're not quite there with that. Robitussin DM. Cards. The card aisle. Let's go. Why don't we turn this way and then we'll go. Oh, you know what though? Oh, wait. This might be the aisle that doesn't have an ending. But, oh no, this is good. You can keep coming, Rhea. There's one of those false aisles here where you go down and then you... would you like to take that out of there?
The noisy cart.
Oh, that's the cart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Okay. Do we need any paper products? That's ahead of us.
The cart fell off.
You're kidding. Let me have that thing. How in the world did the cart fall off?
I don't know. It slipped off whatever it was holding on to.
Okay. Well, now we have the fun part because now Lynette is going to try to... I'm going to pull it right behind me, too. Ah! So there. Okay, these look like notes. What? Bowls. Okay. Note something on it? Oh, they're pretty. They're like a soup bowl. That's what they are.
Yeah, and look at the huge serving bowl. How pretty it is.
Maria is a big bowl person. She loves all things domestic with bowls and things. Okay, contain yourself. We're not getting them now, but we may be able to get them later. Okay.
Where are we going?
Now let's see what's in this aisle. Okay, this aisle has Nestle's hot chocolate. And I thought the cart was making it make that sound. Hot chocolate? Right. I'm looking right at the Nestle's. They have, oh my, some sort of oddball milk here. It's milk that's not in a... Oh, Borden's. Oh my. It's whole milk as opposed to half milk. I don't know. We have a wonderful store here that we haven't been able to get to yet, but it's called Whole Foods, and it is all the rage because apparently everything is completely natural. It's completely natural and completely expensive, but it's supposed to be very good food. And I have had a creme brulee from that store, and it was fabulous. However, that's only whole milk. Oops, I'm sorry.
Okay. I'm not seeing the Christmas.
Me neither. I see Ovaltine. Those Ovaltine commercials were just dreadful, by the way. Breakfast, I see. I can get a Nestle's, though. Oh, they even have... Here's a Swiss Miss. They have Swiss Miss in the corner.
Oh.
It's... Oh, here's an exciting kind. Swiss Miss Diet. Right. Okay, well, I'll just topple them onto my head. But they just missed me. Now, they just happen to be my favorite, milk chocolate. And it's a value pack, 16 envelopes. Sorry.
All right. Before you do the paper, bring out some more Kool-Aid.
Okay. So in New York terms, excuse me means get out of the way. It doesn't mean stand there and get your stuff. It means move. So, okay, so we did. They do have a goodly amount of Swiss misses, but they're just all clogged up against the corner, which I've never seen.
Okay. I heard up here in the meat we're going to get that chicken out.
Okay. There's a Tyson chicken. I am. I'm actually going to let them watch me because, you know what, it just isn't going to work if I try to do both. Now here we're getting a little more populist. Okay, are you looking for plates or anything?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll definitely cut this cast down to size. But I'll just let it run. Okay, now let me turn off a second. Ree, hold on.
Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
Hello, Larry, and all the Blind Cool Tech listeners out there. This is Jerry Hallaton from New York City, and I wanted to send this in regarding the recent interest and confusion regarding sampling rate, bit depth, kilobits per second, dynamic range, frequency response, all these related issues. Now, this commentary is sort of, well, in fact, it precedes my career submission, which I will do at some point, but I just wanted to send this in the meantime. Let me just say that I am an audio engineer and I own and operate a recording studio in New York. And well, the subject is very near and dear to me, so I thought I would contribute to this discussion. Now, before I get started, I just wanted to point out the fact that there are volumes, there are entire books written about some of the subjects that I'll cover. So I'm not going to go into very much detail about the stuff. I'm going to try to explain things in a simple way so that you have some understanding of it and so that it clears up some misconceptions. Now, there are a lot of references that that one can look into to learn more about this stuff, and I will point out some of these at the end of this commentary. I'm going to start with a little bit of a discussion about digital audio, okay? And when I say digital audio, I mean the kind of digital audio that was developed in the 1950s and essentially perfected as time went on. And this standard was known as PCM, or pulse code modulation. And this involved two variables, essentially. One variable dealt with the amplitude of a signal, how loud it is, and the other variable dealt with the frequency, the pitch of the signal. Let's start with frequency, okay? Now, the frequency of something can be measured in snapshots, okay? And those snapshots are samples. We all have heard, you know, sampling rate and stuff like that. And that really is the rate at which a little snapshot of something is taken, in this case, audio. And what is being recorded in these snapshots is literally how loud something is, okay? Now, many of you, of course, are familiar with the terms bits and bytes, kilobits, kilobytes, megabits, etc. In pulse code modulation, there are bits that represent a range, in this case, a dynamic range of values. Now, let's say, for purposes of this example, a basketball is bouncing, you know, say 3 feet in the air, okay? Now, that ball has a range of travel between the floor and 3 feet in the air, okay? Now, we can say in a one-bit environment that the ball is either on the ground or in the air. It's a yes and no. It's a zero and one in this case, all right? Now, in a two-bit environment, we would have four values. We can have on the ground, which would be zero, zero. We could have in the air, let's say at its top value, which would be one, one, okay? And we can have two values in between, which can be, let's say, 1, 0 or 0, 1. And this would give us a dynamic range of 4. Now, let's take it further. Let's say we had 8 bits of value associated with this. Now, 8 bits would give us 256 levels So, of course, anybody that knows anything about computer science knows how the binary system works. And 8 bits being a byte would give us 256 values between the zeros and ones. So you have the 1 column, the 2 column, the 4, the 8, the 16, the 32, etc. Okay, now PCM started out being 8 bits and then it went to 12 bits. And as far as audio CDs, a standard was landed upon and that was 16 bits. Now, 16 bits doesn't sound like a lot, of course, but when you do the math, you realize that what 16 bits gives us is over 65,000 levels in the dynamic range that we can record. So in the case of a basketball bouncing, you could plot over 65,000 points of travel for that basketball. So you'd get a very high resolution image of that ball's travel, okay? Now, for what it's worth at this point, let me just say that the industry standard for audio recording is 24-bit. Now, I just did the math the other day, and it's astonishing what levels you go up to. It's on the order of millions of points along that dynamic range. Okay, so now let's get back to sampling rate. Now, sampling rate determines the resolution of frequencies that we can hear. And I'll give you an example. All right, so as I said, we have with the bits, we have a resolution in terms of amplitude, how loud something is or how high something is in the case of a basketball. But let's say we only took a snapshot once per second, okay? So we had a sampling rate of 1 hertz. A basketball, let's say, can travel from the ground up to 3 feet easily in a second. In fact, it could probably go back to the ground within 1 second. So the problem is that the lower the sampling rate, the lower the resolution is in terms of how we can detect frequency. Now, let me take this a little bit further to clarify. If we took a snapshot 1,000 times, okay, a sampling rate of 1 kilohertz, if we detected where the basketball was in its travel 1,000 times per second, we would get 1,000 representations of the dynamic range. So let's say the basketball started in the air, for this example, and the value was, let's use 16-bit, let's say it was 65,000. Now, a thousandth of a second later, it would be 1/10 of 1% less than that 65,000 value, okay? And so as you progress through these samples, the value would continuously drop to a value of 0 and then return back up to 65,000, again, assuming the range was a constant speed, etc. So we're getting a representation in sort of two respects. We're getting 1,000 snapshots, and we're getting a possible value of anywhere from 0 to over 65,000. So if that sampling rate was increased, of course, we'd get yet a clearer picture of what's going on. Now, let's say in the world of film, there are 25 frames or 25 snapshots. And visually, when those 25 frames per second are flashed before our eyes, a sighted person would sort of fill in the gaps and they would perceive a moving image, okay? Now, given the fact that we can hear up to around 20 kilohertz at best, usually it's more like 17, 16 or 17 kilohertz, and with age, that even decreases. We need sampling rates that are much higher to capture audio. Okay, so now let's talk about file sizes, okay? So you have, let's say in the case of 16-bit audio, which is CD quality, you have 16 bits of information times 44.1 kilohertz or 44,100 samples per second. And when you do the math, which again, I haven't done the math exactly, but you basically get to a point where you're dealing with 10 megabytes per stereo minute, okay? And if you work that out to seconds, it comes out to roughly 1,400 kilobits per second, okay? Now, many of you, of course, who deal with MP3 files, which are compressed files, notice numbers like 128 kbps, 192, 256. And those values work out this way. Now, MP3 files, which are, as I said, compressed, have a dynamic range to begin with, and they have a sampling rate. Now, the sampling rates used in MP3 files are 32 kilohertz, 44.1, like CD audio, and 48 kilohertz. So those are three constants that are used in MP3 files. Now, MP3 files use what's called lossy encoding, and that means that certain pieces of the audio that are determined sort of not easy to hear are simply discarded. And incidentally, the efficiency of encoding is really measured not in terms of sound quality, but it's really measured in terms of data reduction and how much a file can be reduced. And with MPEG-1 layer 3, which is what we know as MP3, the ratio of reduction is about 11 to 1. So if you have an audio clip that is 11 megabytes in size, when you encode it using MP3 at 128 kilobits per second, that file will come out to about 1 megabyte. All right, so kilobits per second is a way of determining the amount of compression that's going to be used. The higher the kilobits per second, the less the file is going to be compressed. So in other words, at 44.1 kilohertz, if you encode a file at 192 kilobits per second, the file is going to be larger. Less is going to be thrown away from that file. Okay, and if you encode at 128, more is going to be thrown away, and so the file will be a smaller size, and obviously at 64, the file is going to be yet smaller. Now, of course, with a smaller file, the quality of the audio is going to decrease. Incidentally, I wanted to mention that one of the things that an MP3 encoder does is it limits the frequency response of a file to no more than about 15.5 kilohertz. So even if the original file was recorded at 44.1 or 48 kilohertz, the encoder will not encode any sounds above about 15, I think it's about 15.8 kilohertz. And so again, that helps decrease the size of the file. Now, people shouldn't be too concerned about the loss of those frequencies up there, because the way waveforms work and the way pitch works is that it takes a doubling of frequency to achieve an octave above. So to translate that, for example, the A above middle C has a frequency of 440 hertz. The A, an octave below that, has a fundamental frequency of 220 hertz, whereas the A above the 440 is 880 hertz. So even if 8 or 10 kilohertz were chopped off the top of a file, that would really only be the topmost octave that we could even detect, first of all. And that would be pretty high up there, and it wouldn't make such a huge, huge difference, especially not for speech. For music, it would make somewhat of a difference if something were limited to, let's say, 10 or 12 kilohertz. it would perhaps be noticeable. But in terms of speech, most energy from the human voice comes from around 500 hertz to about 3 kilohertz. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because there was some concern about that as it related to portable digital recorders. Okay, so just to recap as far as bits are concerned, bit depth, how much amplitude can be measured, how many degrees of volume can be measured. Okay, that's the bit depth. The sampling rate, how many times per second something is recorded, how many times it's sampled. Okay, and those two together determine kilobits per second. In the case of CD audio, it works out to be about 1,400 kilobits per second, whereas with an MP3 file, the number is smaller because there's more being thrown away. So the number might be 128 kilobits per second or 160 kilobits per second, but it's quite a difference. So I hope that clarifies. I know I've just really skimmed the surface with this. I mean, you can really delve very deeply into these subjects. And I would recommend, number one, probably the easiest thing is to visit Wikipedia, where you can look up MP3, for example, and you could just spend hours reading about how it came to be and how it works, etc. There is an excellent book from RFB&D. It's called Principles of Digital Audio. I don't recall the author's name, but you could certainly look that up online. Now, that book doesn't get into MP3 encoding, but it is an excellent book that explains digital audio and how it works, how it came to be, how it was developed. I warn you that a book like that really gets super detailed and really gets geeky, but if you're really interested in it, I would highly recommend it. Another book available from RFB&D is Modern Recording Techniques. I know that one of the authors is David Miles Huber. I'm not sure if there was a co-author on that, but again, it's available from RFB&D, and it's an excellent book. And in there, there's an explanation of principles of digital audio as well, but in a much more sort of concise fashion. If you'd like to contact me regarding this commentary, feel free to email me at jhalatin@bsharpstudios.com. That's the letter J, H-A-L-A-T-Y-N, at B like boy, E like Edward, sharpstudios.com. And well, I hope this was helpful to some of you. And Larry, thanks again, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Blind Cool Tech. Sound Seeing Tool.
I hope you'll join me on the walk home while we talk about a couple of things. First thing I'd like to mention to you, in case you don't know it, somebody passed across my desk the other day the number for a new free directory assistance service. It's called 1-800-FREE-411. Free as in F-R-E-E. And that turns out to be the number you need to call as well. So free is 3733. So you can type, dial 1-800-3733-411. And it works pretty well. Let's give it a try here. That's four. Good four. bit windy out here today.
What city and state, please?
Louisville, Kentucky. Business.
Okay, what listing?
American Printing House for the Blind. And it even connects you free of charge.
Good afternoon,
Well, hey girl, I was just trying out a new free directory service, and you're the only person I know. Thank you. Bye. So, that's pretty cool. It really works. I tried finding my name in there, but I only have a cell phone, so I'm not listed. And I didn't know whether they would find cell phones or not. I've often wondered and wished that you could have your cell phone listed. You know, right in the white pages, like it was a regular telephone number. But apparently that's not an option. Okay, on to next topic. We've been having a lot of great discussion on the mailing list, and I just wanted to weigh in with some observations and maybe a few techniques. Somebody brought up the this all started with the issue of cutting meat. So I think the discussion went something like, you know, it all started out with Eric's phone call wondering about cutting meat, and you know, he doesn't have any problem asking his wife to do it for him, and nobody should, but yet at the same time, if one can do it comfortably and gracefully, no big deal. You can probably hear the leaves are starting to come down finally. I am recording this, by the way, on the Olympus WS200S with the binaural microphones. So I mentioned to Eric that the first thing I'll do, and I think Tim Cross chimed in with this too, is before you eat, make sure you have a napkin around, because cutting the meat involves lightly touching the meat with your fingers. And like I said before, not groping it or putting your hands all over it or anything, but if you put the fork in your left hand and hold it toward the bottom of the fork, you're in a position where you can use your fingers to see what's around the fork, just barely touching the edge of the meat or whatever. And you can then lay your knife next to the fork. And topic come up today, well, how do you tell which end of the knife is the, which side's the cutting side? There's a couple ways to do that. A lot of knives will have a distinctive handle, but in the worst case, And I found myself doing this with the butter knives, even sometimes where the handles aren't so distinctive. Not that I would cut up a steak with butter knife, but apply some butter and so forth. Just take that, you know, just hold your fork down on the corner of the plate and just run the edge of that knife over the fork, over one of the tines on the fork. And if there's serration on the knife, you'll be able to feel it. If there's not, turn it over and try it over there. Then you should feel it. And if you still don't, it probably doesn't matter which side you cut with. It was brought up on the list that cutting the meat one bite at a time is preferable to cutting it all up at once, and I agree with that. That's the technique I choose to use for that particular process, and it works out well for me. Now, the other thing I'll say along the lines of using your fingers to, you know, lightly touch the meat is another great aid, I think, and I don't know, maybe somebody will blast me for this, but I always like to make sure I have some kind of piece of bread that I can use as a backstop, so to speak. So if you've got something like peas or something you would ordinarily be chasing around the plate, you can use this backstop to scoot a bite over to it and stop everything there and gather it up. And, you know, the bread's good too. I found that I'll always, you know, I won't eat all the bread. I'll always keep enough to have at least a little bit of a backstop or whatever you want to call it. So that's, you know, that's another slightly helpful technique for eating some kinds of messier foods. Now, I don't know why. I'm not saying I'm super independent or anything like this. And again, if nobody should feel ashamed for requesting that your meat be cut, but at the same time, try it. It's not so bad. I had actually gotten into the habit of letting my girlfriend cut my pancakes. I'd done it, and then I'd quit doing it, and I went back to it. I think I'm going to quit again, though, because what I discovered the technique there is that you just, as long as you can do it before you put the butter on, I mean the syrup on. There you go, little buddy. It's no big deal at all. I think Neil brought up on the list that someone brought some silverware over with round handles on it. And for some reason, my wife had bought a set of that at one time too. I don't know, maybe it's appealing or something, but definitely stay away from that stuff. I mean, you have no extra cues to orientation of your eating utensils when the handle is perfectly uniform like that, and it's crazy. Yeah, I try to get along and you know, be reasonable about most anything, but something like that, I just couldn't go for that. It's unnecessary when there's so many other choices. One thing that is a little messy to cut up, and I know a lot of people have expressed the sentiment that they just stay away from things that are too messy. And I've done that to an extent, too. And I learned that, you know, country fried steak with gravy on it was... It's a tough thing to cut up. And, you know, it's not... It's often not worth it. Now, you can use your fork without your hands for the meat when you get into a situation that's really messy like that. And it's the same principle. You just use the fork to determine where the edges of the meat are. And obviously you're going to cut from the edges. And if you can do that one bite at a time as well, it's actually seems to cut down on the mess a little bit. So, like Robert Carter said in yesterday's show, this is really some very healthy discussion, and I'm thrilled that we can all get this out into the open and talk about it with each other. Let's not be too shy or bashful to bring up any topic. Hey, if y'all want to talk about sex, you know, let's see what we can do. Anything. Everybody loves a good sex discussion anyway. What else has been happening on the list? Oh, we got Kai. Man, I want to meet you. You are. Hey there. You are a really talented guy. I'm impressed with your creativity, and I hope you'll. I know in a message today you were saying that you just do this for fooling around, but I really encourage you to submit a career cast. I mean, this is some really nicely done stuff and very, very creative. I love it. As you've already seen, I used it on show 208, and man, that is kind of the format that I would really like all the shows to follow. You know, I'm not suggesting getting so fancy, as someone on the list mentioned, that people will hesitate to make submissions, because the submissions are going to be the same as they always have been. It's just the wrapping around the submissions is hopefully going to be presented in an easier to listen to format. You know, it's like, for instance, if we come to an end of an article and then we play audio feedback, you know, what's wrong with having a little jingle in there that says, you know, audio feedback? And that gives, especially a person that's new to the list, some indication about what's going on, you know, providing some clear delineations between the articles in the podcast. So I don't think we really have to worry about it becoming so slick that your average Joe is going to be hesitant to submit. At least I certainly hope not. We don't want to ever convey the message that we're, you know, we're too good for you or whatever. So if you have any, you know, if you have any other comments on that or suggestions about how we can make sure that doesn't happen, by all means, share them with us. Man, I was so excited about last night's or yesterday's show that it was one of those moments for me. I could only equate it with programming milestones that I've had, where, you know, you introduce a feature that I can clearly remember walking to work several times, and, you know, just the whole world was just a little sharper and a little more focused and a little clearer. Or you had just made this contribution to the world. And this wasn't quite to that degree. And as I look back on those other milestones, they certainly aren't going to significantly impact the force of mankind over the next millennium or anything. But they made a difference to me and hopefully a few other people. And that's the way I felt about yesterday's issue of Flying Cool Tech number 208. I just, those transition pieces and intros and extras, and I just thought that really came off well. In combination with you know, the articles and the audio feedback. I just like it. You know, I'm actually all for having a little less of my bumbling in between the articles anyway. And if I have something to say, you know I'm not too shy to speak up. But if I don't, why waste your time with some mumbo jumbo when we can move on to the next thing? And still provide a clear transition. And on the Bookport beta, I realized that we're late on that again. Still haven't got all the bugs worked out on that. So, I don't know whether we'll have the alarms in the next version or not. Well, we will for the next release. That's a goal. I'm talking about I think we're going to try to get this next beta out, possibly as early as Friday, that supports the FAT32 file system, which means, of course, you can use flashcards bigger than 2 gigabytes. And the file size limitations removed. So that will actually be a quite significant improvement in report functionality on its own. I can't express enough how impressed I am with the quality of message traffic on the Flying Cool Tech email list. I'm still asking for someone to help compile some key messages from there, though, because, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to subscribe to this audio media that will never subscribe to an email list, and they may not want to read all the submissions in an email list, but some of that stuff in there are some gems. Some of those messages are keepers. And I'd like to, at least play them on the audio portion and point anyone interested for more of that kind of quality submission, quality message to check out the list. So, calling for volunteers. Oh, what else we got going on around here? I think I told you Shelly got her car back. Something's not quite right in it yet, though, so maybe we'll be taking it back, but hopefully not leaving it quite so long. She was in a tough situation there, without a vehicle for a while. Get over how gorgeous it is out here today. Hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Carol Stewart yesterday. I know I always have a good time talking with her. She's a very animated lady, as you can tell, and just full of fun. You know, I've heard some of you making a reference to the idea that we should interview more narrators, and we can try to do that. I actually have an interview scheduled with Mike Hudson, who is the museum director, on Friday, so kind of be looking forward to that. Which way was that bus going? Was that front to back or back to front? Play it back. It was back to front. Did you get it right? I'll be interested to see if I can get it right. The saga about the quality of the Olympus recorders continues. We gave it a pretty harsh test the other night at the haunted house, and I think it actually does better than that in less extreme circumstances.
What is the difference between the cowbell and the rodeo bell?
I thought he was talking to me. That's another kind of embarrassing thing. I must be a little bit too, I don't know if extroverted is the word. My girlfriend gets on me. They're not talking to you. If I even think somebody's talking to me, I almost answered him. And then, you know, and of course that other girl was standing there, which I didn't know about at the time. But that's not all bad. I mean, worst you can do is lightly embarrass yourself a little, and big deal. Which way is that truck? Oh, that's not fair. He turned off to the left. He was coming back to front, though. In case you're wondering what kind of crazy game I'm playing, Jamie Pauls brought up the interesting observation that as one wears these binaural mics in one's ears, it's reasonable to assume that you can tell left and right directionality, but what about front versus back, and how can that be possible? Had a terrific response to that, by the way. If you want to check back through the old shows from Stan. Jamie, what's his last name, huh? Is it Hendrix? So I think the name of the article is Response to 3D Dimensions or something like that. Let's do a search with Internet Explorer on the page or whatever browser you're using. And should be able to come up with that. Well, Mary Emerson has submitted her interests cast, her hobby cast. If I recall correctly, she was first with the career cast as well. How's it feel being out there on the cutting edge, Mary? You know, if you guys feel a little uncomfortable with doing audio recording, the comment line is an excellent alternative, especially if you have a fairly decent quality phone. The audio on those comes in quite clearly. Tim Cummings pointed out one time. And speaking of you, Tim, where is installment number 3 from our noise series? Did you forget about us? I had a couple of people asking, actually. Let's see, I had a question. Alrighty, how you doing today? I have a question for you guys. I guess I need to start writing this stuff down. And while I'm confessing about things I need to do, I realize more than you do, I need to definitely work on my interview style. It's like, shut up and let the person talk, Larry. Quit being so wishy-washy, just to ask a question, you know. So I will work on that. We mentioned some of the quality submissions from the email list, and like to play a couple of those for you, actually. One from Dana, who, like Kay pointed out, Jaws murders his name, or eloquence, I should say, does. Hey. Steve Guerrero, by the way, did a good demonstration of the music.podshow.com, the Podshow Music Network, on his podcast, so you may want to check that out. It's Very good job covering that material. I think Kenny got a pretty good kick out of the haunted house the other night. Well, I did too, but he was into it. I was reading the Leo, which is a kind of a local magazine here, about happenings in Louisville. Kind of one of these independent magazines. And notice that there's an author from here that wrote a book called The Ghosts of Old Louisville. And believe me, I don't want to ram this ghost thing in the ground either. But I kind of got a little bit interested today.
We changed how we,
I'm not a nut or anything. It's just an interesting thing to explore. But anyway, apparently there are some tours. Old Louisville, by the way, is part of the city from the early times. It was really I think most of it was sort of the upper class, large Victorian homes. It's all really close to downtown now. And there is beautiful architecture there. Anyway, there's either a walking or a driving tour available. I'm probably going to get this book first and try to get a little background. I don't know if it's any good or not. The reviewers in Leo didn't really seem to indicate. But it's a topic of interest. So. We're walking down stilts now. Man, I thought that article that Grant Hardy did for us, where he captured the smoke bomb by leaving the book board in his locker on record, I thought that was brilliant. Both an intriguing narrative and a very clever idea. Good work there, Grant. Well, what do we have on our agenda for this evening here? I don't think anybody is coming over. Liz has got class tonight, so I guess it's just me and Mars. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you guys too. Chris and Marla had asked about trick-or-treaters, and I found myself in a situation Monday night where I dealt with them. I really had a very low turnout this year, but it worked out quite well, and I wasn't using this as a crutch or anything, but it just so worked out that, the two dogs were right there at the door, so I was kind of like holding them back and just holding the pole out the door. And I'm not trying to hide my blindness or anything, but I don't really know that anybody even noticed. I mean, a couple of times I asked, everybody gets your stuff? Or did everybody get something? So it worked out well. I've done it before too, but I totally understand where you're coming from on that. All right. We're home. Well, hey, Mars. Are you watching Elmo?
Yeah.
Did you go to school today? You did not. You need out, boys? Doggies. All right, thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.